Whenever there's a season change, God speaks to his people. I'd like to suggest to you that the Lord wants to amp up the dream realm in every person in this room. I've got this sense that the Lord would start releasing prophetic dreams. You just have to do what he says. You say yes before he speaks, that invites his voice. Thank you. Beautiful. I love the Christmas season. It's a great season for most. It's a troubling season for many. We'll talk about that a little bit today. But I feel like we were to pray together for something. I feel like there's a real strong leaning of the Lord into reconciliation. He's always ready to reconcile, but there's something about family reconciliation right now, relational reconciliation, that I just feel strong. And in the last, we've been doing this for 20 plus years, almost 21 years now. And I don't know how many times in the 21 years we've called for family reconciliation, but whenever we have, it's always been at a time when he highlights it, and there are always miracles. Always, every single time there are miracles, unusual miracles of people just getting restored. Eric was sharing this morning in our staff gathering, prayer gathering early in the morning, Sundays. And he was just sharing two stories, just a little bit of detail from two of the folks within our church family who got a girl pregnant during high school and had no relationship with that child since then, and that child is now 35 years old, and they've got reconnected, and they're going to be together for Christmas, something around Christmas. And there's another one similar to that, 15-year-old child. It's just, to me, it was brought up today as indicators of what the Lord is doing. He's just healing stuff. He's just reconciling the most impossible situations. And it is just so fun to be a part of that. We get to pray into that today. So I know that there are folks here that just have, in fact, Paul prayed into marriages in our prayer time today. And I just feel like God's on this relational thing. And maybe you have a child that, you know, you haven't seen, maybe disappeared off the map several months or years ago even. And we're just going to pray that the Lord would restore that. And I believe that the Lord is going to release just an angelic presence in the direction of that child or whatever the situation might be, and just help to direct, to bring healing, to bring restoration, bring the person home. So if you've got reconciliation needs in family, immediate family, it can be something I would never even think of, but it's dear to you. I want you to stand because we're going to pray together. If that's you, you have family stuff, stand up, because we're going to have people join with you. And I believe that this is a miracle day. It's a miracle moment. And look at all these. These are our family. My goodness, my heart just bleeds for the situations that we have represented here. Heart just goes out to person after person. But we don't pray just to give sympathy. We pray because we believe. And the God who works miracles can intervene in the worst situation. I mean, my goodness, we could spend all day just talking about the worst imaginable situations. We've seen him heal already. And he is not limited in how he works. And the cool thing is I've noticed he tends to do it in ways we don't expect. So that's always fun too. It's just, he just sneaks up on us. Jehovah Sneaky is what some people call him. Sneaks into a situation and brings healing in the most unusual way. And so we're going to believe for that. How many of you believe God heals and brings restoration relationship? I'm telling you, I believe it's the word of the Lord. This is a moment of miracle reconciliation. So I want all of you, we have people watching online, you guys join with us in this. If there's people in the room, partner together. If you're by yourself, lay your hand on your heart. Do something to just partner with us, because we're going to believe God for miracles of restoration that this entire season between now and the New Year's, that this would be several weeks of unusual reconciliations, even in areas that you never even thought to pray about. All right, so let's just go big. Go big or go home. No, let's just go big. All right. Put your hands up if you're standing so people can see who you are. If you're sitting around them, that's your assignment. Go pray for them. Lay hands on them. You don't have to find out any details. We're just praying reconciliation. So pray and prophesy. Lift your voice. Declare, God will restore all. You will recover all. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Just confess over them. You shall recover all. All will be restored to you. Everything that was stolen will be restored. Everything that was stolen. Every broken place will be mended. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come with such power and demonstrate yourself strong as you restore families again. Restore. Let it be said that every broken area was healed. Let it be said every fallen spouse was restored. Every broken situation with relation with children and parents would be healed. We declare these things in Jesus' wonderful name, wonderful name. I want all of you just to make this confession with me. Because of Jesus, I will recover all. Let's say it together. Because of Jesus, I will recover all. That's just too good to say it only one more. Say it again. Because of Jesus, I will recover all. Amen, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Thanks. All of you that stood, thanks so much for just your own vulnerability to do that in front of the family. We just really are contending for breakthrough. You know, I love, everyone knows we love stories of the miracles of healing, and we just get so many. We got more this week that just are outrageous. It was fun. I was in Dallas last week speaking at Gateway, which is a great, great church, an amazing church. It was fun to be there for so many reasons. To see what the Lord's doing in Dallas was a great treat. It was also just kind of a side benefit whenever I go anywhere to have people come up, you know, that maybe attended a conference here or something and God healed them, a fourth stage, whatever. And I, you know, you just don't ever get tired of those stories. But just let you in on a secret. I get as excited for financial miracle stories and relational stories. I do. I get so happy with those things. I mean, we target the physical stuff a lot just because it's a call that God's put on us. But I get so happy when I hear families get healed up and children that were unheard of and lost forever in their home. And, you know, that just never gets old. I just, you know, you just see the joy in the parents' eyes or the child's eyes or the spouse or whatever. And there's a lot of situations here that need divine intervention. And I believe the angel of the Lord has been released when we prayed. Something was released into your situation. And I just think they don't have a chance. That's what I'm thinking. Before I get into talking with you, I don't have a teaching as much as just kind of a talk, which every once in a while I like to do that, just kind of a fireside chat. And that's going to be around the Christmas story, so it's legal. But before I do that, I have a funny story that I read a while back, but it's been a while. So because this is one of my all-time favorites, I'm going to read it for me. And if you've never heard it before, you can benefit because it's just that good. As a bagpiper, I play many gigs. Recently, I was asked by a funeral director to play at a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family or friends, so the service was to be at a pauper's cemetery in the Kentucky backcountry. As I was not familiar with the backwoods, I got lost, and being a typical man, I didn't stop and ask for directions. I finally arrived an hour late and saw the funeral guy had evidently gone and the hearse was nowhere in sight. There were only the diggers and the crew left. They were eating lunch. I felt badly, apologized to the men for being late. I went to the side of the grave, looked down. The vault lid was already in place. I didn't know what else to do, so I started to play. The workers put down their lunches and began to gather around. I played out my heart and soul for this man with no family or friends. I played like I'd never played before for this homeless man. As I played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept, I wept, we all wept together. When I finished, I packed up my bagpipes, started for my car. Though my head hung low, my heart was full. As I was opening the door to my car, I heard one of the workers say, Sweet Mother of Jesus, I ain't never seen nothing like that before, and I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years. That might mean I have a third grade sense of humor, but I just think that's so funny. All right, let's get going here. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 2. And what I want to do is today I want to use this, I'm going to use the Christmas theme to indicate what I believe is a season, I don't know if I can call it a season change, if it's something that God is accelerating, I don't know, but there's something happening where there's breakthrough. When Jesus was announced to be born, it's interesting that the Christmas story starts with infertility. It was infertility of John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth. They couldn't have kids. Angel shows up and they're terrified. Zacharias is terrified. The Bible calls him troubled. Troubled is a nice, mellow word for scared to death. I need to change my Pampers is what it means. That's what, I'm pretty sure that's it. In the original language, I'm sure that's in there. What I've noticed throughout this story is that you find trouble, troubled hearts, and joy. The joy follows the troubled heart. And so you've got, in this case, you've got Zacharias. Angel shows up, Gabriel shows up to give the message that his prayer has been heard and that his wife is going to be her son. Well, they're too old to have kids. And God's done that at least once before with Abraham and Sarah. But these guys are too old to have kids. The angel shows up and Zacharias does a kind of a dumb thing. He asks the angel how he knows this is really true, what he's saying, which is just not what you ever want to say to Gabriel. He tends to come from the presence of God with a message, and so you don't ever question the authenticity of that message. But anyway, he couldn't talk for 9 months, and it's probably so he wouldn't mess up the miracle. So angel shows up. He's terrified. He goes from terror into joy because he has a son. But interesting, this phrase says, your prayer has been heard. And years ago, I was reading through that, and I think it's the William Barclay commentary on that verse. He said, in the original language, what it's actually saying there is the prayer you no longer pray has been heard. Isn't that amazing? You can pray something in God, and even though you've become discouraged, it's still before the Lord, pulling on the heart of God for a situation. And I feel like there's stuff, you know, we're going to pray for some things this morning, but I feel like there's just stuff that God wants to release into our lives that we just maybe became discouraged over. He's such a good father. He doesn't go, well, you know, forget it. You're discouraged, then I'm quitting, you know. I mean, he's not that kind of a dad. He's not that kind of a father. So I feel like the Lord's going to activate some stuff here for people. So anyway, here's the story. He's troubled. He hears the word of the Lord. He ends up having a son. The angel shows up and announces to the shepherds, I've got amazing news for you. This is good news. And it's with great joy. Don't be afraid. They're troubled. Don't be afraid because I have a message of great joy. So the trouble came first, then the joy. Here's the deal, is that God wants to do something so good that it's going to scare you. So expect to be troubled. Being troubled is not an enemy. It just means God reached your limit of what you have faith for. And he says, I'm going past that. I'm going beyond that. John the Baptist's dad quit praying for his son. God says, I'm going past that one, and I'm going to do something that's absolutely impossible to do. I feel like this is a season when, no, it's Christmas season. Some of you, it's a dreaded season because of so many things that have happened in the past. But I just believe that this could be a year that God would turn all those things around, and it would be a real blessed season for all. But we have this cycle. We have this cycle of being troubled and then the joy. Same thing happened to Mary. The angel Gabriel shows up and announces she's going to have a child. She's extremely troubled. You know, it's fascinating. I'm hoping to actually do the whole Christmas story sometime between now and Christmas Day. Hopefully we'll have I'll have a chance to just talk through maybe some of the parts that aren't always talked about or we're aware of. But this would be one of them, where the angel shows up and calls Mary the highly favored one. Highly favored. About to be divorced by her husband because she's pregnant. Highly favored. Has to leave Israel to hide in Egypt. Highly favored. Mother of the illegitimate son. Highly favored. Favor doesn't always go well with everyone. Not everyone's always happy with God showing favor into your life. And how many of you want more favor? I should have asked you before I gave you that little list. You know, favor is just expensive. Here's the deal. I have increasing favor in my life. I know that that's true. I see it all the time. But I have favor because I said yes to Jesus. And sometimes saying yes to Jesus again costs me the favor that I just obtained. It's not mine. My responsibility is to say yes to Jesus. Wow. If he gives favor or opposition, that's my assignment. That's another subject for another day. Let's just get into it. So here we've got this favor thing, but there's something else that happened here. And this is what I want to see. I want to show you a season. And so to do that, we're going to go right here into Matthew 2. Are you there? Just say yes. Yes, we're there. When the wise men saw the star, verse 10, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. I just wanted to highlight that one because this exceedingly great joy is a word that means violence. It's a violent word. It doesn't mean they went and beat up people. It just means it was so extreme that they stepped out of their comfort zone and it brought destruction to the powers of darkness that hate joy. It was a violent act. Joy is a violent act. Joy is a violent choice that you and I make. And the wise men were not, it's not three wise guys that brought some gifts for Jesus. This was royalty. The wise men were magi. This is royalty. And what does royalty do when they come to honor another king? They don't bring a token gift. I don't know if you've thought about it. When the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, what did she do? The gift she brought was extraordinary. What would this team of royalty, and it doesn't say there was three wise men, it just says there was three different kinds of gifts. There could have been 20, there could have been 25. We don't know how many there were, but there was this entourage that left from that part of the world to where Jesus was to honor him as the King of Kings. And they brought gifts to him. And they brought gifts that royalty would bring to royalty. They went to Herod. They announced that a new king had been born. He became jealous. And verse 14 says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. Joseph had a dream that he was to leave town in a hurry, so he did. And verse 16 says, Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. He sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all its districts, from 2 years old and younger, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. When Moses came upon the scene, an infant, you remember, was put in the basket. At that time, Pharaoh became jealous, threatened, because he heard God was raising up a king. And so he purposed to kill all the children under a certain age. Why? God was bringing a deliverer. The enemy tried to destroy by killing the children. When Jesus came on the scene as the Savior of the world, the devil once again inspired people to kill the children because he had something arising in that hour. In the last 40 years or whatever, we've had the slaughter of 50 million babies through abortion because God has purposed to raise up something in this generation, and no attempt of the enemy can destroy them. It's not the message today, but one of the interesting features is that the Lord spoke to, through the angel, spoke to Mary. She conceives. She goes to visit her aunt, who is quite elderly, and Mary could have been as young as 14 or 15 years old. And she goes to visit her aunt, who is very elderly, and when she her aunt Elizabeth, who is pregnant with John the Baptist. And so when she walks into the room, the Bible says that the baby, John, inside the womb of Elizabeth, leaped for joy. Children in the womb can experience joy, which means they can experience pain. So here's this season where the enemy works hard to prevent what God has purposed. In these two cases, it was through killing of children. I believe that this generation, there's going to be a generation someday who will never see death because of the Lord coming. There's something that he has purposed in the earth that has never been seen before, and that's where entire nations become discipled in the Lord. We see it all through Scripture where entire nations will bow before the Lord. I get nervous over those whose hope is being rescued from calamity instead of us embracing our assignment to see his kingdom come and impact the course of history. And that's what we've been given, this incredible privilege. So here's what I'm wanting to do. I'm all of this is just to come down to one thought. As I've already mentioned, it's not really a message, but there's a theme going on, is that I feel like God wants to release a gift or open up a gift in people today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to look at Matthew 1, and I want you to just, we're going to just skip through several verses. So just follow with me in your Bible. Verse 20, it says, when he, this is Joseph, when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Go to chapter 2, verse 12. Then being divinely warned in a dream. Verse 13. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Verse 19. When Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream. Verse 22, when he heard that whatever his name is was reigning over Judea, instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream. Do you remember the statement that says, and God does nothing in the earth except that he speaks first to his prophets? How many remember that? I don't think this is a stretch. I really sense that this is the heart of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we have the Lord first speaking to his prophets before something is released into the earth, before God does a new thing. The prophets speak. He speaks to the prophets. Throughout the Old Testament, there was a preparation for a time when all of God's people would be as prophets, not prophets in the sense of an office, but prophets in the sense of being able to hear, being able to dream, being able to perceive what God is saying, what God is doing. It is his heart. Moses cried out at one point. He says, I would that all God's people were prophets. You get into Isaiah 59 and you see that it was God's intention for all of the people of God to be considered descendants of the prophets, which means as a descendant, you inherit what they carry, what they give. And so here's the heart of the Lord for you and for me, to carry this heart of a prophet. What does it mean? Whenever there's a season change, God speaks to his people. Whenever there's a season change, he speaks to his prophets. I'd like to suggest to you that the Lord wants to amp up the dream realm in every person in this room. I've got this sense that the Lord would start releasing prophetic dreams on much more consistent and regular basis. You just have to do what he says. That's kind of the requirement. You say yes before you dream it. You say yes before he speaks, that invites his voice. Yes, Bill, that's a very good point. All right. So I've got this sense that the Lord would just increase, amp up the whole anointing on us for dreams. Why? Because I believe it's a shift in season. I believe the Lord is giving a block of time. I won't get specific, but I believe a block of time, a number of years, where there are going to be unusual breakthroughs in every single area that you can think of. And when there is a season shift, a season change, the dreams increase. I don't think it's a stretch to find all these verses where God spoke through dreams when there was something new God was about to do. I believe it's one of the ways, but I feel like there's just an anointing. I just have a faith for it today that there's going to be an increase in our lives with prophetic dreams. Now, I've had dreams from pizza. I can't interpret them. They are so weird. One of my favorite comedians said something to the effect. He said, when I go to sleep, I just want to sleep because I don't want to dream. He says, but then I go to sleep, I have a dream. Now I have to build a go-kart with my landlord, you know. That was his. I just think it's so funny. Anyway, sorry. I haven't had a lot of prophetic dreams through the years. I've had, you know, I'm several years over 40. And I don't know that I certainly haven't had one strong prophetic dream that I can remember per year, but I've had maybe a dozen in my lifetime that stand out to me. I remember one really bothered me. I don't know, have you ever had a dream that just troubled you? You woke up and you went, you were fighting depression from it. You know, it was like, it just left such a mark. And this was one of those dreams. I had this dream and I thought, man, I've got something wrong in my life. There must be sin that I don't know, something's going on that I'm not aware of. Maybe my heart's too hard to even see it. Oh God, you know. That's when you start confessing things you've never done just to cover your bases, you know. But I had this dream. It's kind of a weird dream. I don't typically share my personal dreams, but I had this dream. I'm going to do it today just to illustrate what I think God's going to do. I had this dream quite a few years ago. In this dream, I was looking at this car, and it was somehow in the dream, I knew that it was from 1938. And it was all oxidized and just really, the paint was destroyed on it. And it had kind of the spoke-type tires, rims, and both left tires on this thing were flat. And it had California license plates. And so that, you know, most of you would dream that and think, oh, pizza from last week, you know. But it really troubled me because I felt like the Lord was speaking, but I thought, man, there must be something. Because my car's oxidized and I got flat tires and I did something wrong. I don't know what it is. I remember John Paul Jackson came in. What a treasure. You know, that man just died too early. And Kim Clement died here just a week and a half or so ago. Oh, I'm so sad about that because that was, we needed him. We needed those prophetic giftings. This is a side note. Pray for the prophets, please. Don't assume all is well. They sometimes take hits that nobody else takes. And we just need these people around, you know. Your ability to hear from God doesn't replace the prophet. And neither does the prophet replace your need to hear from God. So just keep those two intact. Off the subject, back to my dream. Left tires that were flat and had the old California license plate. And so I went to John Paul, you know, waiting for him to speak his word of correction or whatever it was that I needed. I was ready. And he said, well, did you have family living in California in 1938? And I found out that, yeah, I had an uncle who lived here. My whole family's from Minnesota, so that's our part of the world. But I had an uncle who lived here in California, and he was a soloist for Amy Semple McPherson. And he said, the left tires represent what your family was born to do. And there was something that was not completed in your family assignment with, in this case, with Amy Semple McPherson and the anointing that was supposed to spread. And so this car was a symbol of something that had old and oxidized, and the tires were flat, but the Lord was revealing it because he was giving access to restore that call or that purpose or that focus on my family line. Well, I almost danced out of that meeting with John Paul because I thought, well, it was a good dream. That's what I want to happen to you. I want you to dream things that hook you, that drive you into the presence, where you get counsel, where you do whatever you need to do to find out what God is saying. Because I feel like this is a season shift, and he's going to dramatically increase him speaking to you and to me in and through dreams. I'm using the Christmas story, maybe even illegally in some ways, to illustrate that in a season shift, dreams increase. It's interesting in this Christmas story, which I hope to be able to cover more properly at another date, that the Lord spoke to Simeon, who was a real prophetic voice, and to Anna, the great intercessor, who spent her days and nights fasting and prayer at the temple praying. All of these things are indicators of a season shift, of people praying, burdened, crying out to God for things. How many of you have felt a burden for something? You've cried out to God, and you didn't even know what you were praying for. You were just praying till the thing lifted. You didn't even know what it was. That just happens because there's something that is getting birthed, I believe, into our city, but I also believe into our nation. So what I want to do today is we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the dream realm. I just feel like the one thing I was, not the one thing, because there's a couple of things I felt I was supposed to do today, but one of the things I felt I was supposed to do today is just to pray for the release of dreams where God would speak. I've had him speak to me very simply, very profoundly. I've woken up when there's been no mystery. I knew exactly what he was telling me to do. And there have been other times I've been horribly confused, going, oh, Jesus, what does this mean? And so what I've tried to do is I try to write them down, hoping that there'll be a time where he either unlocks it for me or connects me with somebody that can really interpret those dreams. Does anybody want this?
Yes.
Does anyone want God to talk to you while you're sleeping?
Yes.
All right, stand up. All I want for Christmas is a dream. That's right. All right. In the book I wrote, Dreaming with God, it's not about dreaming at night at all. It's just about imagination and co-laboring with the Lord. But in that, when I was writing that book, I found stories where people had dreams in the night and the Lord showed them things that they could invent. I'll never forget the one story from, I won't say where, but back east. Back east is anywhere the other side east of Reading. England. Where this guy would feed his family from the church pantry because he lost his job, and for a couple of years they just didn't have any money. But he had this idea, and he created something that a company in the country paid him $20 million for. So now he puts food in the pantry. $20 million enables you to do that. I feel like some of the dream things is going to be that. Some is going to be answers for relationships. He's going to show you what to do. You'll just know what to do. I've had the Lord give me financial direction in my life through a dream. I had been praying about a particular thing, and he showed me exactly what to do. I woke up knowing what to do. And I just feel like he's going to increase the dream realm. So if you're ready, just say, I'm ready. All right, put your hands in front of you. Let me pray over you. And it's just kind of an act of receiving. Father, I ask that you would release now a gift in the dream realm, that you would, in the same way that you speak to your prophets before anything new happens in the earth, so I ask that you would speak to these prophets, these descendants of the prophets, through dreams, through visions, all the ways that you speak, but specifically we say, Lord, come in the night and teach us. Teach us about you. Teach us about what you're doing. Release the creative ideas. Release the secrets, the insights that we need, the encounters. God, most of all, the encounters. And Lord, I pray for people in this room that with godly heritages or very ungodly heritage, that every family would be restored to the purpose for their household. That my whole left tires being flat thing would just apply to every person in the room, that there would be this sense of re-engaging with divine purpose for the family line. And I'm asking, Lord, that between now and Christmas, that everybody in this room would see, and those watching online as well, would see a dramatic, dramatic increase in the dream realm. And give us understanding and wisdom for this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now that's cool. I'm excited for that. All right. Tonight, by the way, is just going to be outrageous. And I love all the Christmas. I love all the parties that we have now. Yesterday was just a party. I was so well fed. I can hardly wait till tonight. But there won't be crepes. I'm sorry to announce. I hate to tell you this. But tonight's going to be good. But here's something we need to take care of right now before we go. I know that every time we come together, we have people that are visiting, people, guests, perhaps people from our community that are here to visit. And the most important thing that could happen to us today is to know that everybody in this room has had an opportunity for and has responded for the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord, as your Savior, to know what it is to, the Bible calls it born again. It's where you change from the inside out. You don't change yourself for God. You just surrender, and he works in you and through you. It's amazing because you're actually adopted, brought into his family. It's not a request for anyone to join an institution. It's an invitation to know God. And if you're with us today and you'd say, Bill, I don't want to leave until I know that I'm at peace with God, until I know I've been forgiven of everything I've ever done wrong. I want a new start. If that's you, then I want you just to put a hand up and I just want to make eye contact with you and just make agreement with you. Yeah, right here. Wonderful. Back over, here's another one. Beautiful. Anyone else? It's wonderful. Bless the Lord. Right over, here's another one. Beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful. That's so cool. Anyone else? Wait just a moment for this. There's three men that I could see, which I love when men and women get saved, but sometimes women are here first. So I'm real happy whenever the men say yes to Jesus, because that's a sign of something real significant. Anyone else? Real quick. Okay. All right. I've got a team of people up over here to my right. I want to ask the three of you, and if there was some that I missed, just come up quickly right over here, because I want these folks, these are friends that we trust, we know and trust, come up here. They're going to talk with you. They're going to pray with you, and it's going to be good. Just come on. Come on, right over here. Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Beautiful. Yeah, come on. Yeah, come on up. It's awesome. Bless you. God bless you. I love it. I love it. Come on. That's good. God bless you, sir. God bless you. Bless you. Wow. That's so cool. Jesus, thank you. You know, you have a kingdom mindset when you value what heaven values. And what's happening right now is so valuable in heaven that angels are celebrating in a way that we could not comprehend. It's so extreme. And that's what heaven values, is this right here. So we celebrate that. I want to have the ministry team come on up. And if you could hold your places for a moment, Chris, just come up and give us some directions and we'll move on.